Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. You're here with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tang and Ryan Hwang, and it is time for the bigger picture. And in America, they're not buying the bigger turkeys, they're buying the smaller ones.
Singapore roast chicken.
Okay, duly noted.
Yes, on the eve of Thanksgiving, that is what's shaping up. We've got a bit of a pause on the rotation. We've got people taking some profit, and that is because we've got some good excuses. Not just the holidays, we've got a slew of bad data, or at least disappointing data. And this is coming through from the initial jobless claims. That came in at 778,000. So that was slightly worse than expected. And also the first back-to-back advance since July. Personal incomes also down 0.7%. So all in, it's a kind of weaker picture for the recovery in the US. And the FOMC had their meeting minutes also released, and they said they could be adjusting their bond buying program fairly soon. So how will all that shape up markets? Let's get a bigger picture from Sunny Hamid. He's the Director for Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Morning, Sunny. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, Sunny, glad to chat with you this morning. So I'm going to get a view first on the markets. I remember through the year, you've been rather bearish, rather cautious. Mm-hmm. So are there any changes in recent times, especially as you get more positive progress and news around vaccines? Mm-hmm. Have you kind of looked a bit at the glass more full at this point?
Mm-hmm. You see, when we look at the markets, typically you look at the markets on different time frames. So basically, on the longer term time frame, we are still cautious because when we look under the hood of the economy, as you mentioned earlier, also the economy remains quite on a weak footing. You know, we have things like deleveraging, symptoms of deleveraging, like sovereign defaults, corporate defaults. The figures still remain quite patchy and quite soft. So from that perspective, anybody who's investing in the long term, I think being slightly a bit more defensive, especially after this 10-year run-up, is the correct position to be. However, we did, I think, over the past couple of weeks, kind of issue a tactical buy, so to say, right after the elections, because we felt that over the short run, at least over the next couple of months, post-election, with the vaccine news, and now with the Federal Reserve hinting that they may actually ramp up the bond buying program, I think the market has a lot of excuses to go up. So I think short term we have turned a bit bullish, but with the understanding that the economic fundamental situation remains very cautious.
Yeah, Sunny, so help us unpack what's going on with the FOMC. You've got a minute saying they could see changes to the bond buying program fairly soon. And just to kind of recap, they are buying $120 billion worth of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities a month. So what type of changes can you expect, and what will be the impact on markets with the changes?
I think the Fed is forward-looking, meaning to say when they look at the COVID situation, they understand that it probably will peak by after winter, by January or February. But again, the lingering effects will be throughout 2021. So there's a lot of expectation that probably maybe even next month, or at the very least early next year, that the Fed will announce one of a few things in order to expand the program. It could be in the form of increasing the $120 billion per month. It could be in the form of moving out the curve in terms of maturity or duration. It could be in the form of actually lengthening the actual initial thinking with respect to how long they will actually put this program in place. So there are several ways of doing so. I think the market is looking to see what they will do.
Yeah, Sunny. So in recent weeks, of course, there has also been this huge narrative around the rotation from growth to cyclicals. When you talked about, you know, a short-term tactical call to buy, what are you looking to buy? Because there are now so many different views where to look at in terms of markets. For example, Fidelity International is saying it's time to turn bullish on Europe because it has been oversold. Where are you looking at in terms of opportunities?
I think there's merit to most of the teams that we see out there, and the teams can be compartmentalized into, for example, US versus rest of the world. So there are people moving now and favoring rest of the world from growth to value, as you mentioned earlier, from stay-at-home stocks to stocks which are more of the real economy, from potentially sectors which will benefit now with an expansion of the Fed liquidity and such. I think everybody's going to play a bit of each of this, and I think that's the way to go, not to try and bet on any one particular team, so to say. The fact that we are heading into the year end plays a very important role, because this is basically the time where fund managers rebalance. And having seen the growth stocks, the NASDAQ and their US in general stocks move up, I think a lot of rebalancing will push liquidity into these various teams which have been lagging behind.
Yeah, talking about the recent moves as well, gold has not been doing well. For the month, it's down 5%, trading around $1,800 per ounce. So that is near four-month lows. Sunny, what's moving gold prices now, and is it worth going in at this point?
There was an initial pause in the three main factors driving gold are basically the quantitative easing, the asset expansion on the Fed balance sheet. Number two is the real interest rates, and number three is the US dollar. Okay. Every other aspect, i.e. the discovery of a vaccine, post-elections, less fears, political fears, and stuff, those are kind of secondary in my view. If you want to play gold, you need to focus on these three. And of these three, basically there was an initial pause in the quantitative easing. Real interest rates kind of paused for a little while. And I think the dollar also kind of rebounded. So all these three came together over the past couple of weeks to actually halt gold's rise, so to say. But when you look at the long-term trend with regards to all these three, very clearly these three continue to move in favor of gold. So unless there's something structural to suggest that there's a change in either one or all of these three factors, I think gold is just basically taking a pause. And I think the majority in the market still continues to see gold potentially move higher in the months ahead.
Yeah, long-term trends still there for gold prices to move up. We've been chatting with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director for Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Sunny, thank you so much for your time this morning, and I'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.